Welcome into a Friday edition of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking comfy about this. You know, me too.
I haven't figured out, like, so it's a new couch, new studio. We need to be 6 feet apart. We're socially distancing. It's funny because I socially distanced my entire life.
Hey-o!
There you go.
Oh, but that's sort of sad. Like, you had friends growing up.
I had three.
That counts.
You know, if we count my entire, if we go from, you know, zero
to siblings,
like,
right?
To 22 when I graduated college. I think I had three.
One in high school, one in middle school, one in college.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice distribution
much,
there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I found someone to marry me, so, you know. So I'm trying to figure out how to, like, get comfy. Like, because
what position do you assume?
Well, right, because honestly, like,
the same thing,
it, like, normally when I'm on a couch, I'm like in only my shorts, you know, with like my feet up and like, you know,
like a drop,
whatever, like Cheetos dust all over my chest, right? I mean, like, let's be honest, right? And a beverage nearby, like, what kind of beverage?
Yeah, just curious. What are you drinking these days?
It depends. It depends on what I need to get done, or if I. So it's usually either, it's one of four drinks generally.
Okay.
It is either a margarita,
good,
prosecco, water, or a Diet Coke.
Okay. Yeah, that is sort of your core four, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That is your core. I did not know prosecco was so high up your list.
You know what? It's been a summer prosecco because I was at first I was on a diet. And I was just like, wow, I'm losing a lot of weight. I went basically a version.
You look tremendous.
We saw each other just before. And then Corona, you know, COVID hit and quarantine. And I'm just like, you know, listen, if we're all going to die, I'm not going out on a low carb diet. Like, I mean, I honestly, like, let's be clear. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm not trying to make light of the situation with COVID-19.
Course, yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, for me personally, I was just like, why am I dieting? Like, I'm not seeing anyone but the same three people.
Right.
And so
Beth loves you just the way you are.
Exactly. And my 15-year-old and my twin daughters that are eight, you know, and then eventually the college kids came home. So now it's, you know, it's same, you know, six people that are seeing me. But so then I started to gain a little bit of weight, hence the baggy shirts and that I'm wearing on air. But I found that Prosecco does not, it's fairly low carb.
Gotcha. Yeah, I heard Prosecco, in terms of tequila is the new liquor of choice for that same reason. A lot of tequila sodas being consumed this summer, as well as a million vodka sodas in cans as well.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So, anyway,
all right, now
so
I know
you
how you spent your summer, hanging out with Cheetos and Prosecco on
pretty
the couch.
Pretty
lively, if you ask me.
Pretty much.
Big show coming up today.
Yes,
we're going to finish off.
What do you think? Because you feel very casual. I'm just asking about, like, just an impression of Mike. Can we do a poll? We need to start a poll. Do I look comfortable? Do I look okay? Like, I don't, you know, Lisa, our director, is trying desperately to, you know,
move to football.
Well, not just that, but also, like, to capture this this magic that's happening. So I'm just curious, like, if this.
I would say you look, I mean, you look comfortable. Right. I actually find this couch, so no one cares about
great.
This, I'm sure. But last year, in our previous studio, and we loved it, it was incredibly uncomfortable. Like, it was There was sort of a weird craning of neck involved in order to see both you and Stefania at all times. This couch is very comfortable. I can live here. I kind of do live here right now. We don't do much besides come to the show.
I was
going to
say, I'm still without power at my house and
this
water.
This is your bed right now.
I may actually be sleeping here this weekend.
Okay. Let's move on to the football. That's right. We have two teams to cover today in the AFC North after covering both the Ravens and the Bengals yesterday. And maybe I'm just excited because I had 4 months of no sports, but every team kind of jazzes me up right now. Let's begin with the Steelers.
Even Washington?
Yeah, they do. I'm a Ron Rivera stan.
And
you already are. Probably took you about 5 minutes to become one after he got hired. One of the great, great men in sports, and I'm excited for what the franchise direction is.
He is the legit definition of the real deal.
Of course.
Like, you meet him and you're like, listen, like, I met him at the Combine. I've met him before, but, like, I met him for the first time as representing Washington at the Combine, and I was just like, yeah, like, let's go. Let me give you 40. Come on, I'm ready.
You know, like the run through the brick wall thing?
Oh,
like,
yeah, he is that guy.
But not in the way it's like getting in your face intensity.
No,
Drew Brees before a game, which is awesome. It's just like principled, solid dude. Again, he's
very
not
solid
a
dude.
He is a he's a Washington coach, not a Pittsburgh coach. Let's talk about the Steelers.
Right.
And Matthew, last year, basically everything that could go wrong for Pittsburgh did go wrong. And they finished 8-8. This was a scrappy, defiant, tough out every single week. This year they get Big Ben back.
And I can tell you something, like, and we'll get to fantasy in 1 second. He didn't. I don't think he did. I thought, and people thought I was crazy when I said this, I thought Mike Tomlin should get Coach of the Year votes last year. To that point, I mean, they're rolling out Duck Hodges. They, like, to your point, like, everything that could have gone wrong for the Steelers last year did, and they were in the playoff race till the end. Like, and they were, again, they went 8-8.
I
have
an idea.
Never happen that way.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, an 8-8 team, a coach of an 8-8 team isn't going to, but I thought he coached his butt off last year.
So what we actually need, in fantasy in 30 seconds, I promise, we need two categories of Coach of the Year. We need Coach of the Year for the coach that, like, has a dominant team and does an exemplary job, right?
Right.
Then we need a Coach of the Year for the team that most exceeds expectations relative to talent or circumstance. So, you know, Mike Tomlin versus Brian Flores last year would have been kind of an interesting conversation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
Brian Flores had a 0-16 type team and they went 5-11. Mike Tomlin had probably a 5-11 team and he went 8-8. So, yeah. Anyways, I digress.
I actually think there should be two divisions of Coach of the Year. It's Belichick, because Belichick should be Coach of the Year every year.
Hilarious.
And then everyone else. So it's just sort of like the Belichick Award.
Right.
Does he win it this year or not? It's just kind of a yes or no thing.
Yeah.
And then there's everyone else.
Okay.
Because honestly, any year that Belichick doesn't win Coach of the Year is sort of a joke.
I think it's been like 13 years.
I mean, it's stupid.
All right, let's talk.
All right.
Let's talk fantasy football. And we dive right into the Pittsburgh Steelers with their quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. And before we can have a conversation, a thoughtful one about his value, we must bring in Stefania Bell.
Of course. We go to her palatial estate, the Bell Dome. We need a nickname for her...
Bellhop, Bell Dome.
But it should be, you know, it should be like Bell Castle.
Bell Castle.
What's a, like, yeah. How can we describe your palatial estate, Starfania Bell?
Palatial is a good start.
With the security and the river and, you know, all the paparazzi.
Personal chef.
Over, you know, 500 yards away because of the gate and, you know, the dogs, Rico guarding.
Stop.
We need something to describe it.
It's just me and Rico hanging out. You're the one with the palatial estate with the moat. I have to remind everyone.
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about, Starfania Bell. All right, so listen, my friend. Ben Roethlisberger, what do we know about Big Ben? Like, I will say, if you saw Field Yates' tweet on Twitter yesterday, at Field Yates, Ben looks a little bit slimmer. He went pre-quarantine.
To glow up.
Yeah.
A before and after. Maybe after Stefania's off the screen, we'll have the capability to swipe through that. I don't know if we have the ability to go three box right now.
All right.
Ben looks good. We'll show you that in a moment after Stefania tells us how he's doing.
Yeah,
is he healthy?
How is he doing, Stefania?
Look, he's throwing. This is what you want to see. You want to see your quarterback throwing when he's coming off of major elbow surgery. So he tore flexor tendons in his forearm. And according to Ben, he tore three of the tendons off his elbow. They attach at the inside of the elbow. It's kind of near where the Tommy John ligament is, if you will. So it's a big surgery. You see it a lot in baseball. You don't see it that much in football. But Ben's been throwing for a long time. He's 38 years old, and this is a guy who also grew up playing baseball, so a lot of throwing over that lifespan. And eventually, those tendons just wore down. You know, he was dealing with pain for a long time, but then it failed, and he couldn't throw, so he had to have surgery. Now, the good news is surgery tends to be very successful for this, and he won't put the kind of strain on it that a pitcher would. But, you know, you always want to see how it actually looks in action. So far, so good. But, of course, we'll be watching him right up until the start of the season.
We've got a lot of good news so far from Stefania Bell. We're going to come right back to you in just a moment to ask about James Conner. But I like the progress report for Ben Roethlisberger from Stefania. And maybe now we can swipe to the before and after look that we have from Ben. Early quarantine, when Ben was urging people to stay inside. Here it comes. If you're watching on the live stream right now, look at that. Ben on the left. I don't know how you describe him on the left. Fuzzy, furry.
He looks like a fat Daniel Dopp.
Yes,
is what he looks
does.
Like. I mean, it's like, seriously, it's like he's one of the extras in Duck Dynasty there. I mean, it's honestly like the beard is like, you know, and Ben's put on some LBs. Like, yeah. Ben did the Matthew Berry, which is just like, listen, if we're all going out, like, no carb. Anyway, but he has slimmed down. He looks good. The
haircut helps too.
Got a haircut, trimmed the beard. He's clearly lost some of the quarantine weight. Somebody said that everyone that goes into quarantine comes out either a hunk, a chunk, or a drunk.
That's
because some people decided to get really fit. You know,
right.
They were doing all this exercise, and then some people were drinking, and then
right,
some
like people, Bryson DeChambeau, yep,
right, and then some guy. People, right, 100%, and then some people, you know, so I'm 2 out of 3. What did Meatloaf say? 2 out of 3 ain't bad? There you go. That's me. I'm not saying which three I'm not. Okay. Which one I'm not, but yeah.
Two truths and a lie here. All right, let's talk about Ben Roethlisberger's fantasy value, Matthew, because as of right now, Ben Roethlisberger is being drafted 17th amongst quarterbacks and undrafted in the majority of leagues. Rankings-wise, you have him at 14, I have him at 17, Daniel has him at 18. So far, we've had a conversation about a few quarterbacks that are kind of in this 13 to 20-ish range, but we could see them having a chance to climb inside the top 10. But Ben Roethlisberger feels like the quarterback that we have at this point discussed, and this is our eighth team that we've gotten into, that maybe actually has the most legitimate chance to be like a top 5 quarterback based off track record, based off of production, based off of the fact that although they don't have Antonio Brown anymore, this is an interesting group of pass catchers. Are your expectations for Ben Roethlisberger that he is actually going to well exceed his current value as it's going right now?
100%. So I have him at 14. I'm the highest among the three of us as rankers, and I think I might be too low on him. The only concern with Ben is health. Yep. And we just got a clean bell of health there from Stefania, right? It's, I like that, by the way.
A clean bell of health?
A clean bell of health. That might be, we're going to start that. Clean bell of health. I like that. Anyway, so Big Ben, in 2018, the last time we saw Big Ben healthy, he was the third best quarterback in fantasy.
Yep.
The numbers are ridiculous. By the way, the weird home road split thing, that went away in 2018 as well.
And I'm not sure it's going to be much of a factor this year because there are no crowds most of the time.
No, 100%, right? So you think about 2016 to 2018, the three seasons healthy that he had prior to last year. He was one of just two quarterbacks with at least 3,800 passing yards and 28 passing touchdowns in all three seasons.
Yep.
Right? His 16-game averages over those three seasons, basically 4,700 passing yards, 32 passing touchdowns.
Wow.
Right? That's basically top five quarterback numbers. So, again, the question with Ben is not talent, right? No one questions, like another guy that's a first ballot Hall of Famer,
sure.
Right? No one questions the talent on Ben. We agree on the pass catchers, right? So, no AB, but Juju Smith-Schuster and Deontay Johnson, and they added Eric Ebron, and Chase Claypool is an interesting guy as well. They have James Washington. Like, we'll get into all those guys, but we like the pass catchers. They have some nice pass catching running backs as well. And then you think about this offense, which is basically the same, right? 2018, second pass heaviest offense in the NFL.
While within 3 points, which is actually a very important caveat.
Yes,
there,
correct.
Right? So
that even if
defense, they led the league when, sorry, you were right. You were correct. My bad. Second pass heaviest in the offense in the NFL, but they were actually number one in pass percentage when the game was within 3 points. So it wasn't that they were trailing a lot. Like,
right.
You know, this is not Daniel Jones last year. This is
no.
The Steelers just being aggressive.
And obviously Ben wants to throw, and Ben has tremendous say over the offense and what they're going to call. And so I mean, QB 17. Here's what's crazy. Everyone's talking about who could be this year's Lamar Jackson. And the common answer is Kyler Murray, right?
Yeah,
which is
one.
Fair,
totally,
right? That's a popular one, and I don't disagree with that. But if you're asking it in a different way, which is give me a quarterback being drafted outside the top 12 that could finish, you know, as a top three option the way Lamar Jackson did last year. Now, obviously, Lamar Jackson set all sorts of records, but he was drafted outside the top 12 quarterbacks. How is Ben Roethlisberger not the answer? Again, like the only question with him is health.
I hear you. I'm with you. So let me put this differently. And I think this is maybe the question I should have asked out of the gates is if you leave a draft as Ben Roethlisberger as your starter, are you okay with that going into the season?
What size? In ESPN Standard League?
Yeah, ESPN Standard League. Okay.
Yes, because I'll tell you why. It's a 10-team league where you only start one quarterback. And if Ben doesn't work out, then I feel like I will be able to find a replacement on the waiver wire.
And really,
there's
going to
be a lot of good quarterbacks that won't get drafted in most ESPN leagues. Think about Jared Goff, right? You know, everyone's forgetting Jared Goff, who 2 years ago was a borderline top 12 guy. I think he was, I want to say he was top 10 2 years ago, but he was definitely top 12, you know, or whatever. We've talked about it. Kirk Cousins. I like Gardner Minshew as a sleeper a lot. No one's going to be drafting Gardner Minshew. Joe Burrow, we talked about the other day. Like, he's in that range. Like,
Chase the upside.
Like, totally. We know what Ben can do. The only question is health. And again, he got a clean bell of health.
Well, let's move forward with a potential, well, hopefully another clean bell of health. We're going to go right back to Stefania here. And Stefania, Ben is not the only Steeler that was banged up last season. His was even more significant, though, than James Conner. James Conner is entering his fourth NFL season, and he has had a litany of injuries he's dealt with. Where is he at health-wise going into 2020?
Deerfield was a perfect example of how it's sometimes hard for these guys to get healthy during a season, especially with the type of injury that James Conner had. He sprained his right AC joint, so the point of his shoulder. And, you know, his style, he's a very physical back. He seeks out contact and typically does well against it, although last year he struggled. And I think part of that was because he was injured for so much of the season. Originally injured in week 8, tried to come back, and the first game back, he only lasted 13 offensive snaps before he was pulled again. Never really looked great until late in the season, and then in week 16, he injured his quad and he was out again. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Steelers are seeking to compliment him more. He carried a lot of work last year. Obviously, with Ben out, that changed the offense, but I think the way that James Conner plays the game and the type of injuries he's had tell you that there's going to be some risk there going forward.
That wasn't quite a clean bell of health, right?
That was not a clean bell of health. Stefania Bell, I have a question for you. I've been in many fantasy leagues with you for many, many years.
Okay.
And if there's one consistent aspect to how Stefania constructs her teams on draft day, it's always risk averse. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I've ever seen her draft AJ Green. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think I've ever seen her draft Alshon Jeffrey.
This year I will.
What?
Okay.
Oh, this year you will. Okay.
No. Noted. Write that one down.
Stefania
this
Bell.
This year I'll take AJ Green because the value is there. The upside.
Understood. Understood.
But as far, I know what you're going to ask me with Connor is like, how comfortable would I be? So let me start out by saying, when you say a clean bell of health, which I like that, I'll take
it.
I actually think he's in great shape right now. He's healthy right now. So just to be clear, I like how he is going into the season, but the pattern has been that he gets hurt during the season, and part of that is due to the position that he plays, and part is due to his particular style of play. So how good do I feel? He's not what I want in a starting back. He's maybe what I want in a number two back.
All right.
Fair enough. And just, Stefania, to your point, I just want to give you a couple of numbers here to illustrate exactly what you're saying here. So James Conner has missed multiple games in all three of his NFL seasons, right? In 2019, he missed 6 full games, but in the 4 games, four of the games he played, he didn't play over 50% of the snaps. Like, he feels to me like a little bit Matt Breida-ish in the fact that, like, even when he's out there healthy, there's a lot of games where he gets nicked up and he leaves the game early. And look, no one's questioning his toughness. Like, he comes back, he tries. Like, I mean, what this guy has accomplished in his life and overcome, massive props, right? No one is questioning his toughness. But the fact is, to your point, the style of play and just how he's built, it just feels like this is a guy that is going to struggle to stay healthy over a 16-game season. Am I right on that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you look at what the Steelers are doing, and I think they're creating some insurance for just that purpose.
All right, Stefania, great stuff there. We'll be back with you in just a few minutes. So, Matthew, let's get to James Conner and not put the health stuff aside, but just factor it into his value. Right now, he is ranked by you at 22. I've got him at 20. Daniel has him at 20 as well. His ADP is 21. It's just below Melvin Gordon, just ahead of Devin Singletary, which I actually think is a pretty reasonable spot for him to be going right now. The question, I think, is factoring in all the stuff that Stefania just said, is James Conner worth the risk to you based off price point? Again, running back 21 in terms of ADP, Gordon, Devin Singletary this. Right around him, sandwiching him.
I'd much rather have Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
Much rather have Melvin Gordon. So, look, the fact is that we've seen – I'm going to straddle the fence here a little bit, and then I'll tell you where I found. But so there's two sides to this argument. First off, he's at the price point, given the upside. I get it. I understand, right? I mean, so he's probably going like in the 5th round would be my guess. And I haven't looked at – I don't have
– Late 6th round.
Late 6th round. Thirsty Kyle gets in my ear and tells me that. So late 6th round is where James Conner is going. This is a guy that was like, you know, 2 years ago as a superstar. When Big Ben was healthy. We talk about 2018 and the year that Le'Veon Bell held out the entire year. James Conner was fantastic. So the upside is certainly there. So if you get a guy with top 5-ish running back potential, you know, 3-down back potential in the late 6th round, I totally get it. Having said that, again, he's a guy that's missed multiple games every single year of his career. I don't know that he was completely in, like, last year when he got a workload, and I get the Steelers offense was all discombobulated, right, without Ben there. But James Conner was unimpressive last year, even when he was healthy, even when he was starting, even when he was getting all the workload. He was incredibly inefficient. He wasn't particularly – and how much of that is on the offense and the struggles of the line, and how much of that is on James Conner? The upside is there with Conner, but to me, I feel like there's, you know, there's other guys in that range. Like I said, I prefer Melvin Gordon, but again, like I prefer Conner to Devin Singletary. As much as I love Devin Singletary, I think Zach Moss is going to take a lot of touchdowns away from him.
He's interesting. It's a huge year. The coach speak rhetoric has been very favorable for James Conner. They want him to be the guy. He understands he's got a contract extension potentially on the horizon here. There are some signs that he's going to be the workhorse, but again, there comes with some caution. Let's move to the wide receivers, though.
One last thing before we move over to the wide receivers. I will say, though, that in terms of late-round running backs, Anthony McFarlane is one of my favorite kind of late-round flyers because of the concerns I have around James Conner.
They've drafted, of course, Jalen Samuel. They've also drafted Benny Snell and Booger. Actually, Anthony McFarlane. He's not related to Booger, but
right.
Booger's real name is Anthony as well. But anyways, they have drafted three running backs over the past 3 years as insurance to James Conner.
Anthony McFarlane is who I'm calling.
Okay, interesting. Let's talk about Juju. Juju Smith-Schuster was wide receiver 59. No, I am not misspeaking when I say that. Last year, just 9.43 points per game. Right now his ADP is wide receiver 12, which is ahead of Allen Robinson, amongst others. I am at 17, Matthew. You got him at 15. With Juju, I think the question is sort of fundamental. He was incredible. There is zero doubt that he was amazing two seasons ago, playing opposite Antonio Brown.
Right.
He was the team MVP. Remember that? It was a big to-do because Antonio Brown was reportedly frustrated and miffed by that. Talent is there for Juju Smith-Schuster. But the question is...
It's amazing. Just real quickly, like, you think about that. Like, in any other situation where one teammate is super miffed that another teammate got MVP, another teammate who obviously had performed at a phenomenal level, that would be just huge news. And there's been so much Antonio, like, no one even remembers that about Antonio Brown.
It's like the 80th most notable story from Antonio Brown in the past 2 years.
Like, don't no one remembers that the guy, like, actually put a, like, the guy Facebook lived a team meeting.
Yeah.
Like, you remember that?
It's crazy. There's so many things. That was after a playoff game, no less.
Yeah. Right,
so, but this is the, so 2 years ago, amazing. Last year, terrible. So how much of the mess of 2019 from Juju Smith-Schuster, how much should that impact or influence your confidence in not just him this season, but I would say collectively Pittsburgh Steeler pass catchers? Because they were all bad last year for the most part.
They were. I mean, but the quarterback play was horrendous.
Right, of course, yeah.
It really was. And so, I mean, like, it got to a point where, like, you know, there was that Monday night game against the Bengals, I believe, where, like, basically Jalen Samuels became their quarterback.
Right.
I mean, like, they just did wildcat for much of the game. Like, so it was a tough year for Pittsburgh all year round. The question, though, is that, listen, and I'm just as guilty of this as anyone, but we all had Juju pretty high going into last year, and we all sort of kind of shuffed off the, you know, like, so there's no AB there. We think Juju can be a number one. And, I quoted a bunch of stats, like the three games in which Antonio Brown was out, Juju had averaged, I want to say, over like 25 points a game, like just had some crazy numbers. So there's questions, like he was hurt last year. So now suddenly there's health questions about Juju. There's obviously questions about just the offensive whole. And there's questions about him as a number one wide receiver. The talent is unquestioned. We know what this guy can do on a football field, but there are enough question marks that he moves into that second tier as, you know, again, I am at wide receiver 15. He moves in that second tier of wide receiver for me, not a top 10 guy. Having said that, if we're a year from now and we're talking about is Juju Smith-Schuster a top three wide receiver because of what he did last year, that's not going to shock me.
Yeah,
he's got top five ability and potential in that offense with Big Ben.
I think it's kind of a market correction this year because, as we mentioned, right around a mid-tier wide receiver two this year after being like a mid-tier wide receiver one last year in terms of ADP. So the questions with Juju is, A, will the quarterback play get better? That part's obvious. And B is like, all right, is he Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, those type of players, a guy we'll talk about in just a few minutes in terms of raw ability? And the answer may be maybe not quite. That being said, given the quarterback he is now playing with, the propensity to throw the football in Pittsburgh, and just the opportunity that he has as the number one wide receiver there, is that enough to get him back to where I think he belongs, which is a wide receiver too? And I think he is appropriately right. And sometimes it takes us a year, right? It's like sometimes too little, sometimes too much, sometimes just right. I think that right now, Juju is more accurately assessed as a mid-tier wide receiver too, but there are some players who are being drafted behind him on ADP right now that I think you can make an easy case for, like an Allen Robinson, to go ahead of Juju. That being said, I think he's a top 20-ish wide receiver this year. Yeah,
and by the way, like, I would not want to go into a season with Juju as my number one wide receiver, but if he's my number two, I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
And again, it just sort of goes to talk about the fact that we keep bringing this up, but in terms of roster construction, like, he's going as wide receiver 12. He's going ahead of Allen Robinson, just buying a DJ Moore. Like, those are such good, you know, and like Odell Beckham Jr.'s in that range as well. Like, there are huge names that you can get. If you go running back to start, or even if you go running back and you wait till the end of the second round, like, you're going to get a good wide receiver.
Let's talk
running
about
back in the first round, kid.
Let's talk about a couple of other players in this offense and maybe a little bit less fantasy investment here. But Diontae Johnson last year, Matthew, we always pay attention when the Steelers draft a wide receiver because they have an incredible track record of success in terms of drafting wide receivers. Diontae Johnson actually showed up pretty well last year as a rookie, again, with really bad quarterback play all season. This past season, although the points per game average wasn't great, he had just over 10 fantasy points per game for a guy that was playing with Duck Hodges and also Mason Rudolph for much of the season. You seem to sort of like Diontae Johnson as kind of a, maybe not late round value, but actually, yeah, late round value, late round flyer.
Like him a lot. I've done a lot of different best ball leagues and a couple of other leagues, like in the Scott Fishbowl that we've talked about. Yeah. Both Ben was my quarterback, and I stacked him with Diontae Johnson. Like, right. He's one of my favorite sort of best, like, it's an easy stack to do. The Steelers offense as a whole is an easy offense to stack, especially if you're in best ball leagues or larger tournament type formats that won't cost a lot when it comes to ADP. And so Diontae Johnson had six different games last year with five or more catches. In those games, 17 fantasy points per game. From weeks 14 through 17, you know, it's obviously a small sample size, right? But from week 14 on last year, he was the 12th best wide receiver in fantasy. And again, that was with inconsistent quarterback play and an offense that was not nearly as efficient as what we expected to be under Big Ben.
Right.
And so could Diontae Johnson, who we all liked coming out of college, and we all know the talent, and again, like, when the Steelers draft a wide receiver, you pay attention. So Diontae Johnson, who could be the Juju if Juju's going to be the AB in this offense, like, we have seen this offense under Ben Roethlisberger support two very fantasy-relevant wide receivers.
And that's probably the draft dilemma, is that if we accept that there's an excellent chance, or a very good chance, with Ben Roethlisberger as quarterback, two wide receivers are going to carry fantasy value this year. Are you confident enough that Diontae Johnson is the guy? Because if it's not him, Matthew, they drafted Chase Claypool, you mentioned him. James Washington, you just mentioned him. So what you are saying is that in your drafts, if you are going to target a second Steelers wide receiver, it is clearly Diontae Johnson.
To me, it is.
Yeah, and that's fair. But not
163 fantasy points as a rookie, again, in a bad offense, bad quarterback. Tyler Lockett, 165 fantasy points as a rookie with Russell Wilson. I mean, just to give you just some context of sort of what Diontae Johnson did last year, I'm cherry-picking two numbers there.
Yeah.
But my point is just, I'm just trying to show the upside there.
Right, no, I get it.
That his current ADP is wide receiver 41.
I'm not as certain that he will be the number two Steelers wide receiver, but I think he has the best chance. As a result of that, I'm with you in terms of making him a late round target for you.
Yeah, listen. I know they like James Washington, and Claypool was an interesting draft pick, right? And they added Ebron, and it's going to ultimately come down to Ben and who he likes. But the upside for Diontae Johnson relative to his cost on draft day in terms of ADP is enormous, right? He's got top 20 upside, just the number two wide receiver in the Steelers offense. If he consistently gets targets, he's got top 20-ish wide receiver upside. He does.
But I wonder if that upside is like, is it 5% chance of happening, 8%, 10%, 25%?
Okay, let's play that out. Say it's a 5% chance. Okay. It's costing me, what, a 13th round draft pick?
Right, I get it. I know.
So I will absolutely use a 13th round draft pick on a 5% chance at a top 20 wide receiver.
It might be, yeah, that might be too high of a percentage, to be honest, because there are a lot of wide receivers that we
there are.
Have
it's
this
crazy, crazy deep.
So but let's talk I'm about just, Eric Ebron.
He's one of my, you know, like, we talk about a lot of different guys, like, sort of in that, you know, that range. Deontay Johnson is one of my favorites.
You recently interacted with Eric Ebron on Twitter.
I did indeed.
Eric Ebron, who himself, he posted a graphic. I believe it may have been from Fantasy Pros. I'm not sure where it was. It was another site, a competitor of ours, that had posted the top 10 rankings of tight ends. And Eric Ebron, quote,
he posted. So Eric Ebron posted a graphic from another site of ranking the top, I believe the top 10, might have been top 20 because he did two images. I don't know if it was 5 or 10 guys, but just saying, and he was probably ranked in the, you know, towards the,
he might've been not ranked,
but he just basically said, I play fantasy and I would take myself ahead of 85, maybe 95% of all these guys. And, to which I then quote tweeted, open invitation, Eric, to play in any league of mine.
And what did he say? Are you guys doing it or no?
No, he responded back to me and he just said, you know, he says, "No, nah, man." He says, "I may not even play this year because if the season gets canceled, I'm going to be miffed." He didn't use the word miffed, but I'm not sure if I can use the word.
Probably not
on air. But anyway, so he used a word for upset, and to which I said, "Hey, we're all going to be upset, but rather that and you guys all stay safe. You know what I mean? But otherwise, still much respect to you. Offer still stands to play in a league with me anytime you want, and." You know, much respect for you to believe in yourself.
Gotcha.
But yes, people were not kind about him saying that he would basically take himself over everyone other than maybe Kelsey or Kittle.
Okay, so Twitter chicanery aside, just really quickly, value here. He is a mid. He's being drafted amongst tight ends 17th. I think that's fine. I am a 15. You have a 23, Matthew. Like I'm not. He has been a Jekyll and Hyde player in his career.
Sure.
He's playing with, you know, a very, very good quarterback. You know, he's played with an excellent one before, Matthew Stafford. He played with a very good one 2 years ago in Andrew Luck, right? Yeah. Like, he's played with great quarterbacks before. We know what he is. Eric Ebron is what he is. You know what that is? He is a, he's a little bit of a, he's a tease, right?
Right. Here's why I don't want Eric Ebron on my fantasy team this year. And I wish him respect. And let's see, he responded great on Twitter. And I would love to play in a fantasy league with him. Like, again, open invitation, Eric Ebron, please. I will find a league for us to play in together. We can do it for charity. Let's have some fun with this. But he is touchdown dependent.
Totally.
He is touchdown dependent. And so, again, so he's coming to a system where Ben is coming back. And Ben knows all the guys that are there, including Vance McDonald, who was also banged up last year. So he's got some competition. And so to me, when you get down around that range, I'd much rather the Blake Jarwins, Ian Thomas, you know, Jonnu Smith types that could emerge and be like the guy, Will Disley. Right. You know what I mean?
Got it.
So, yeah.
All right, let's move forward to the Browns in just 1 second. But first,
let me tell you about Geico.
Okay.
Did you know that right now, Field, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to make your bed? I'm changing it up. They always have a dog. You're always waiting for the dog, the Geico people here are. But as nice as that sounds, that's probably never going to happen.
But not.
Again, it's not going to happen. So I think there is, as a result, there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Once again, Field, that is geico.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com today, or just stop by.
Fun segment coming up because we are discussing the Cleveland Browns. A little behind the curtain, our producer Haley is a huge Browns fan. So this is her favorite segment we'll do for the entire season.
So Haley is from New Zealand.
Right.
She's from New Zealand.
Great country of New Zealand.
Have you ever been to New Zealand?
No, but I think it's my favorite place that I've ever been to.
I've never been to New Zealand either.
Do you want to try it?
I once wrote a movie set in Australia, and I've never been to Australia either.
Can you do an accent?
Right. Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles. That's right. The third one. The least successful one. But as I've said many times, like, listen, kids, if you're going to sell out big.
Right.
Bought me a big house. God bless the croc. Anyway, but no. So Haley has challenged me to do this in a New Zealand accent, which is going to be impossible. But I like Odell Beckham because the Browns are like my favorite team. But I was living in Miami, and I was a fan of Jarvis Landry, and they got traded to Cleveland, and I decided to become a Browns fan. That's my Haley Burns impression, which is, by the way, which is bad
because it's British.
It's British, and it's a bad British accent. Okay, not even New Zealandish.
Great, hey, you know, the Great British Baking Show, one of my favorite indulgences during quarantine. All right, here we go. Let's talk about the Browns, and we'll go back to our normal nomenclature.
Apologies in advance, Haley, not only for that impression, but for the season of you having to produce me.
So, Matthew, in fantasy football, sometimes we have plenty of numbers to suggest things. Sometimes, you know what? You just follow your heart. And last year,
what's the heart want?
That's right. So
I've been told.
Last year, Baker Mayfield he was one of the most disappointing players in fantasy football, along with this wide receiver that we'll talk about in just a couple of minutes here. 12 months ago, though, Baker Mayfield was the talk of the town in a lot of ways. This guy's got all kinds of upside. He's going to be a massive fantasy resource this year. 12 months later, does Baker Mayfield carry the same upside as he did? And if not, are you even bothering with Baker Mayfield at all this season?
So I'm not. I mean, I have him in our dynasty league, so I have to. Right,
but in redraft,
I will say, look, I think Baker, forget fantasy for one second. I think Baker Mayfield's a real quarterback. Like, I think he's a legit good NFL quarterback.
Sure.
Like, I think the offense had its challenges last year. I think some poor coaching. Stefanski's the real deal. Stefanski's a very good coach, and so I will, like, if Baker doesn't do it this year, then okay. But like, they have done everything possible. I think they've given him a good coach. He has terrific offensive weapons. You know, in obviously in Beckham and Landry, they add Austin Hooper. They improve the offensive line. He's got Chubb. He's got Kareem Hunt out of the backfield. Like, and obviously David Njoku is still there. So, I mean, like, to me, like, if Baker doesn't put it all together this year, then okay. But so I believe that he is a talented quarterback, and I could easily see us talking in week four about, hey, you got to pick up Baker Mayfield. I could easily see that happening. But, and again, this sort of talks about, like we were talking about with Ben, right? Is that I'm okay going into a season with a risky quarterback, because if it doesn't work, then again, there's so much depth that will be available on the waiver wire.
Two important points that had to be made here.
Yes, sir.
One, and you sort of got to this, is that the Browns this year are a professional outfit, right? This is a team that at least has a sense of direction and organization, and despite the limitations of the offseason, will be ready to play football when the games begin on September 13th for them. That bodes well for Baker Mayfield. We'll say this again for Odell Beckham Jr., another guy who struggled massively last year. So I don't really worry about the numbers that much last year for Baker Mayfield. They're not irrelevant to me, but they are also not the most important thing. The second point is what you just talked about, Matthew, is that we're in our eighth quarterback, and we've already had like four that are ranked in this range, and we're like, yeah, they could end up being top eight quarterbacks. I'm not saying that it is not our job to try and differentiate between a Ben Roethlisberger and a Baker Mayfield and Matthew Stafford, but I am telling you that some of that is an element of just guessing, right? We may guess right. I may tell you that of those three guys, I am 100% confident that Baker Mayfield is the one with the highest upside, and then it's Matthew Stafford, and then it's Ben Roethlisberger, and at the end of the year, it may be that Baker's quarterback 7, and Ben is quarterback, and then Stafford's quarterback 10, and Ben is quarterback 12, and I guess right. But you know what? You could also sit here and argue with me, Ben is definitely the highest upside, and then Baker, and then Stafford, and you could be right as well. So not trying to sort of simplify the conversation, Baker is a player that could be a really good fantasy quarterback. He's got plenty of skills, and he's got plenty of weapons. But if you also are saying, you know what, after last year, he's not my draft target, I want to go elsewhere, that's fine.
Yeah, because there's two things that I think are unknown here, right? Number one is what will the offense look like under Kevin Stefanski? Will it be run? It was run heavy in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And how much of that was Mike Zimmer, who has said, I want to run the ball and play good defense. And how much of that was also, you know, that Stefanski was a fit for what Zimmer wanted to do.
Yep.
Right? Because again, good offensive line, and they have as good a finisher at the goal line as there is in the NFL in Nick Chubb. I mean, so is this going to be a pass heavy offense? I don't think so. I think at best it's going to be balanced. It may be run heavy.
Yep.
Right? And then, on the other hand, though, listen, a swing pass to Odell Beckham can be taken 80 yards for a touchdown at any given moment. So, yeah, I mean, to me, you think about Kirk Cousins, and I wonder if that's going to be like Baker Mayfield this year, right? So
yeah.
Anyway,
let's get to Stefania one more time. We're going to jump to wide receivers. We're going to come back to the running backs in just a moment. But Stefania Odell banged up all last season. You know, he had apparently he was like rushed into surgery or was had surgery too close to the season or whatever. He was there was calling out of the medical staff, all kinds of stuff that just was not at all for anybody's benefit. But tell me about Odell Beckham Jr. Where is that health wise and what your expectations are for him? And then also, while we're at it, Jarvis Landry, his very close friend and wide receiver teammate.
I'm getting some off-season surgery field. You mentioned that Beckham was banged up all year. He played all 16 games for the first time since 2016, but he played all of them hurt. And if you think back to training camp and preseason, do you remember he was talking about how he couldn't really open it up fully in practice? And then we kept hearing that over the course of the season. That's pretty much the explanation for the type of injury that he had. He had a core muscle injury. He actually posted a video on YouTube where he talked a little bit more detail about it and said that in June of last year, he started feeling stuff. Those were his words in his abdominal area. And then in training camp, actually tore the muscle, part of the groin muscle and part of his ab muscle. And when you do that, you lose power. You lose your core strength. It's true. It's a very legitimate result is that you can't explode down the field. So he was on the field, but he didn't look like himself. He had surgery in January. He's fully healthy. I'm told he looks great, says he feels better than ever. So he's in really good shape coming in. Jarvis Landry had a hip issue that he had subsequently repaired in the offseason. I will say I saw a video of Jarvis Landry doing his rehab and getting treatment while watching Project 11. So I was very much in favor of that. But Jarvis Landry's procedure was a little bit bigger. He's starting off on the PUP list. I think the hope is that he'll be healthy to start the season. He definitely was playing with something that was causing him a lot of problems the last few weeks of last year. So if he can get back to his regular form, it might not be right at the start of the season, but I think he'll be looking good a few weeks in.
Stefania,
thank you, Stefania.
Great stuff, and sort of actually, again, more clean bells of health there. Maybe not so much for Jarvis Landry, but Stefania, we thank you as always. You have a great, wonderful weekend in the, as Matthew always calls it, the palatial estate. We still need to work on
the
name.
By the way, Stefania, yeah, I'm hoping somebody on Twitter will tweet us ideas.
The Bell Dome.
The Bell Dome. The
Biodome, the Bell Dome.
The Bell Castle. Like,
ooh.
Before I leave you guys, Matthew, I have another assignment in honor of Haley. I think you should have to perform the haka next week. So
what is the
you
haka?
Might want to look that
the
up.
All blacks.
Stefania, what really is the haka? Will you show me what a haka is?
That's right.
What is a haka? I don't understand. Just tell me what you'd like me to do. Show me what you'd like me to do.
Am I right on this?
It is one of the coolest traditions in the world.
No. You need to do your homework. And then you need to come back and perform it on the show next week. And
we
Field,
could be,
am I right on this?
Oh, my God, Stefania. We can blow up in New Zealand. This could be our cue to call.
I mean,
New Zealand, a leading
this.
Country in so many ways right now. This could be awesome. Let's do it. Let's get big in New Zealand. All right, Matthew, we got to get
live show in New Zealand.
I'm down for it.
We're not allowed in the country right now, but that would be
Stefania, just one last piece of advice for you, though.
Yeah.
Just, you know what? The paparazzi appreciate, like, you should send them pizzas or something like that. They've been outside your place for hours upon hours. Just, like, send them some, like, pizza or Chinese food or something like that. Just order them some food. Just make it nice. So,
yep.
Anyway.
All right. So
a piece of
all
advice
right.
there.
Let's
take your
let's
advice.
Go to the okay. We're going to come to the wide receivers in just a few minutes, Matthew. But let's circle back to Nick Chubb, and we can make this a little bit expedient because we showed it last year. Can Nick Chubb be a top 10 back with Kareem Hunt in the mix all season? Factoring in that last year Nick Chubb was running back 11, and oh by the way, Kareem Hunt played half the games for Cleveland. So succinctly, Matthew, can Nick Chubb be a top 10 back again this year?
He can be, but it's going to be touchdown dependent.
Okay,
right? Because I mean, like if you look at the numbers, like. Basically, they were very even, and he was outside the top 15. Once Kareem Hunt came, I don't have the – I don't for some reason, I can't find my numbers here. But
see if I can
– but no, over the I put this in 100 facts.
I'll tell just, you. You ready?
Yeah. But so over the second half of last year, when Kareem Hunt came back, they were both between like 15 and 20, running back 15 and 20.
Kareem Hunt – Nick Chubb averaged 18.9 points per game in weeks 1 to 9. And then when Kareem Hunt returned, he averaged 13 points per game.
Right.
And the bottom line is that you mentioned the passing game role, which was not robust to begin with, was mitigated because Kareem Hunt is such an excellent pass catcher. Now, different offense, different staff, right. All those things are open, so I'm with you. And Nick Chubb, by the way, he might be the best pure runner in football. He's right up there with I would say, Derrick Henry and a couple others.
By the way, friend of the podcast, Nick Chubb, we did an off-season interview with him, and he, you know, great guy and, you know, said all the right things in terms of preparing, and he's very excited about it, and he's happy to have Kareem Hunt in the backfield with him, and it's going to be a more efficient offense. So it's going to be somebody that, you know, there's going to be more scoring opportunities. But yeah, so can he be a top 10 running back? He can be because it's going to be touchdown dependent. Yeah. Kareem Hunt to me is the better value of the Cleveland running backs. Kareem Hunt this year.
One thing
year
I will say, yeah,
in terms of his ADP.
I'm not worried about Nick Chubb. Like he's still a high floor for him.
Sure, of course.
It's just that the ceiling might be a little bit less attainable than some of the other guys that are being drafted close to or around him. Now let's talk about the wide receivers, Matthew, I think there is a huge conversation that has to be had this year. I talked about emotion earlier on in fantasy football. There are probably people that are listening to this show right now that are saying, draft Odell Beckham Jr., not happening for me this season. Matthew, I think the world...
It's an emotional game.
But I said this on the podcast a couple of days ago that maybe with Odell, like, we just got to trust it. And Odell at his best. Odell, in terms of pure talent and ability, is as gifted as basically any wide receiver in the world. I truly believe that last year was as low as he could possibly go in terms of fantasy football output. Could he wind up being the steal in drafts this year based off the fact that in terms of ADP, he's 14th amongst wide receivers. 14th right now.
I mean, and look, this is a guy that was going top three last year among wide receivers.
Yeah.
Top five in a lot of drafts. And so... you know, we still think Baker Mayfield is going to be the best quarterback he's played with in his career. You know,
agreed.
Baker should be better.
Yeah. And that's it.
I mean, right. But I mean, like, it's either Baker this year versus late stage Eli Manning.
Yep.
And we know what he did with. So you have to expect that Kevin Stefanski's the first thing he did was like, I got to figure out a way to get Odell Beckham and you know, use all of his talents. And again, like, he was hurt last year. He gutted it out, but he has gotten a clean bell of health, as it were. And
I'm ready to plant my flag.
Are you?
Yeah,
go
I am.
For it.
On plant Baker Mayfield. And I don't know exactly what
is. On Baker Mayfield or Odell Beckham Jr.?
Odell Beckham Jr.
Okay.
Is top eight receiver, is that a hard enough stance to like plant the flag on it? Top eight?
I mean, he's wide receiver 14 right now. You have him at
wide receiver 33 last year. So
I
don't know. Maybe like top eight. Top eight. I believe Odell Beckham Jr. will be a top eight wide receiver in fantasy football this year. And I might have to rank him. I might have to adjust my rankings accordingly.
I think you should adjust your rankings. But yes, in terms of the guys going in his range, there's no one with more upside than Odell Beckham Jr. You know he will get massive target share. The downside is obviously what we saw last year and the fact that Baker Mayfield spreads the ball around.
Yep.
He does. And it may be a more of a run first offense, but
they tried really hard to try to jam the ball to Odell in the red zone.
I think they're
going to
do that again.
I think they will. I'm trusting the talent here. And aren't Jarvis Landry, Matthew, Stefania mentioned the possibility of, like, you know, we'll see if week one is totally in play for Jarvis Landry or not. But wouldn't you say over the years, I would just say that, like, I've grown to appreciate Jarvis Landry as one of the most consistent and talented players in 100%. Fantasy football, right? That, even with the possibility of him being, you know, not 100% at the beginning of the season, like, I still believe that Jarvis Landry is going to yield good return based off where you draft him. He's wide receiver 21 in terms of ADP this right now, and we might be, wide receiver 25 in terms of ADP right now. We have him at 28 and 27. I think Jarvis Landry is one of those players that you tend to get what you expect out of Jarvis Landry, if not a little bit more each year.
He's always... there is a little bit of health concern, obviously, but he is always perennially underrated.
Yeah.
And undervalued.
He's become more of a red zone threat in his past couple of years. Yep. More of a vertical threat in the past couple of years. His volume is always going to be unbelievable. I'm a believer in Jarvis Landry. You are as well. But I think things get really interesting for Cleveland in the tight end room. So they signed Austin Hooper, friend of the podcast, Austin Hooper, to the richest contract in NFL history for a tight end. Remember, that was a flag that I actually planted last year that worked out, right? I kept saying he's going to be the highest paid tight end ever. He is, until George Kittle gets paid, but now he is. Austin Hooper last year finished as tight end 3 with nearly 15 points per game. We've got him ranked right now, Matthew, closer to 10. I actually have him at 9, you have him at 14. His ADP is 13, just behind Hayden Hurst and just ahead of TJ Hawkinson. So what's the forecast here for Austin Hooper, and what does it mean for also David Njoku, who at one point requested a trade this offseason, now he's somehow happy to be in Cleveland again. Where does it all net out for these two tight ends and potentially their fourth-round pick, Harrison Bryant, who won the Mackey Award, best tight end in college? This is, as we talked about, the Kevin Stefanski offense. No offense tends to rely more heavily on two tight end sets than what we saw from him in Minnesota.
Right. So, again, you have to throw out all the numbers from Cleveland last year. But I will say that part of what – listen, Austin Hooper's a very talented player. I like him a lot as an NFL player. But – he got such crazy volume. I believe before he got injured, no one had been targeted more among tight ends than Austin Hooper. And so he's not going to get that same kind of target share. I mean, again, think about everyone we just mentioned, right? We just mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. We just mentioned Jarvis Landry. We talk about Kareem Hunt out of the backfield, right? I mean, like, there's so many other weapons there. And David Njoku, right, is there as well. So he's going to a new team, a new offensive system, no preseason games, only 14 padded practices. I just don't know that Austin Hooper gets the kind of red zone target share and the overall target share that he had last year in Atlanta. That's obviously already baked into his ADP at somewhat tight end 13. But to me, I feel like there are other tight end that I think Austin Hooper is going to be a better NFL tight end this year than consistent fantasy asset.
Yeah. And by the way, on David Njoku, like, I think I'm okay with passing right now. If he proves me wrong, then that's great for not just him, but for the Browns and for those who do make the investment there. Let's circle back to Kareem Hunt for a second, Matthew, just because we talked about Nick Chubb and like the floor is still pretty high, despite the fact that he is maybe not as involved in the passing game as other top running backs. But Kareem Hunt, another player that I think maybe like Jarvis Landry, you're going to kind of get what you want based off of the investment. His ADP right now is RB26. That's where I have him ranked. You have him at 21. So you think this might be actually a pretty useful value at RB26.
Over the second half of last year, he was a top 20 fantasy running back.
Yeah.
On a points per game basis. You know what I mean? And Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm almost positive of that.
Like, nope. Yep. You got it.
I got it. Yeah. He was a top 20 running back on a points per game basis last year. And that was like just coming into everything. Like, again, we know Kareem Hunt's talent. Again, I'm talking about him merely as a fantasy football asset, not as anything else. But we know what kind of talent he has on on the NFL field, right? And so for me, a guy that's, you know, among the most talented running backs in the NFL, great pass catcher. He's going to be their third down back. They're going to use two, you know, both running backs as well. You know, we've heard talk about Kareem Hunt as their slot receiver this year. Like, right. You've heard some offseason talk about trying to find different ways to get him the ball. You know, is there an Austin Eckler type role for Kareem Hunt this year? Like, yeah. Again, they're obviously different players, but like, Kareem Hunt is a guy that is a true three down back, is a guy that is a very good pass catcher as well. Like, if you're Kevin Stefanski, you can get really creative with Kareem Hunt, and he's going as running back 25. I mean, he has terrific standalone value, and then if anything were to happen to Nick Chubb.
Matthew, he's the most valuable insurance running back in football. And I know he's not just insurance, but if something happens to Nick Chubb, he's a top five running back in fantasy. Top five.
Easy.
All right, good stuff there on the Browns. Looking forward to them this season. Haley, we're going to get you to a game if they allow fans, but they probably won't, so we'll see.
Right.
But hiring is challenging, and there's one place where you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, where businesses can connect with qualified candidates. Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a new game artist to grow with her education tech company. But then she switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. And you can, too, by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. By using ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter candidates, Gretchen found it easier to focus on the best ones. Then find the right one. In fact, after posting her job on ZipRecruiter, Gretchen said she was honestly surprised she found qualified applicants so quickly and hired a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, you can go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, Try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
Off to the bunker we go for some social questions.
Yeah, Field, but before we get to the social questions, I want to update a poll here.
Okay.
Because we just had a lead change. 50.6% of people say Matthew does, in fact, look comfortable on the couch.
Okay.
Fantastic. So there you go.
The masses have spoken.
Walking a thin line.
Slice of victory for you right there.
I do. Thank you very much. Appreciate you guys, America.
First question comes in. We've got a follower that likes both Ridley and Hurst this year. Should he pick one to focus on, or is it okay to plan on starting both going into 2020?
Yeah.
So Calvin Ridley and Hayden Hurst from the Falcons are the names we're talking about here. What do you think?
I think I'll answer this question specific to them, but just in general.
Yeah.
Hayden Hurst and Calvin Ridley do not know they're on your fantasy team, nor do they care, nor does Matt Ryan care. Like, I'm collecting the bet. Like, we all think Hayden Hurst is going to have a nice year. We all think Calvin Ridley is going to have a nice year. So I don't try to get players on the same team unless I'm stacking it and it's like a specific strategy, but I also don't avoid it. Like, I just want to collect the best players I can. And so as I'm going through the draft, if I need a tight end and I've already drafted Calvin Ridley and Hayden Hurst is there, I will absolutely draft him. I won't avoid Hayden Hurst because I already have Ridley, but I also won't actively seek out Hurst because I have Ridley. So I have no issue. I have no issue with that. And I do think both guys have good years this year.
All right, Kyle. Number two in social questions.
Next up, they're wondering what you think about Todd Gurley's usage now that he's in Atlanta. We've really got an Atlanta theme going here.
Yeah, I'll take this one. I'm a little bit nervous. You know why? Because the Falcons are talking about his health already, right? And Todd Gurley now is rid of the contract, which I thought in some ways became a problem for him perception-wise in fantasy football. $15 million per year running back. You got to use him all the time, right? Well, that wasn't the case. They obviously reduced his workload last season. But the fact that Dirk Cutter, who spoke during the offseason about not knowing exactly where Todd Gurley's health is, that makes me a little bit nervous. That being said, now we actually get to examine these guys, right? They're working back in the team facilities. And beyond that, Matthew, the Falcons have not made a major investment behind Todd Gurley at running back.
That's the point.
So
key word in that question there is usage.
Yeah, I think the usage ends up
massive.
Being... You as think massive? Really?
As long as he's healthy... Massive. What are they going to do? Sorry, Todd, sit down. We got to give
Andre
Smith some touch.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, stop it. The judge. Like, honestly, come
over
on.
Under 15 total touches per game.
Over.
Over, okay. Okay, so I think it's around.
I think the usage is massive. Now, can he hold up under that over the 16-game season? I don't know.
Gotcha.
But I'm just saying, while he's healthy, massive usage.
All righty. Kyle, let's wrap up with one more social question before trivia.
Last question for today. We've got, do you trust Austin Eckler as a running back one, even though the touch upside is a little bit limited?
First off, the concern is the offense under Tyrod Taylor, not the touch. Like, he's going to get as many touches. Like, what are they going to do? Like, hey, sorry, Eckler, who we just paid. Sit down. We got to give Justin Jackson some work.
Certainly feel
Joshua
good about
Kelly.
Them.
Like, yeah, and totally. By the way, I actually like Joshua Kelly as kind of a late round sleeper, but. Yes, I do trust Austin Eckler as an RB1 in PPR.
The only thing I'll keep an eye out for, and this is something I think I saw Damian bring up at one point on Twitter, is that Tyrod Taylor, like, a little bit more conservative of a thrower than Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers, it's like, if he's ready to chuck it to Austin Eckler, out of the hand, right? Tyrod Taylor extends plays, just a little bit more conservative as a quarterback in general. Does that impact him by, let's say, I don't know, 10 total catches? Maybe it does. But still, RB1. But Kyle,
RB1.
Let's have some fun and talk trivia. And we're going to grab our grease boards. Let's do this.
I don't know where my marker is. Well, you can
borrow mine. Can't be too far.
It can't be too far.
You know what? I found one, so we can share it if need be.
This is great podcasting.
Oh,
Kyle,
so
why don't you read the question?
Yeah.
Well, Matthew either looks for his marker or he can just borrow mine.
As long as you guys are looking for
ruining stuff. Yeah.
We were talking a lot about Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb this podcast for last year. They both averaged over 12.5 points once Hunt was in the mix. I want you to name for me the last AFC North duo to do that over an entire season with both running backs playing at least 10 games in that season.
All righty. I'm back, and I'm reading this again one more time. 12.5 fantasy. Okay, once Kareem Hunt returned in Week 10, both he and Nick Chubb averaged over 12.5 fantasy points per game. When was the last time two AFC North running backs from the same team averaged over 12.5 points per game for a season with at least 10 games played? Good Lord, I am striking out so hard right now, but I'll give it a try.
Matthew was writing quick, so I'm a little intimidated.
I know what I have this. A duo. I have a duo in mind. I have no idea, but I was trying to think of what's a productive AFC North duo, and I have an AFC North duo that I think was productive at least 1 year.
That does, in fact, make it a quality answer.
Yeah, there you go.
Man, I am having a big time brain fart right here.
That doesn't happen to Field Yates.
What do you got, Matthew? You're up first.
That's it.
Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Wow.
Field, what do you got?
Giovanni Bernard and question mark, because I was trying to think of Jeremy Hill and I couldn't think of Jeremy Hill.
Well, you were both on the right track and Matthew gets it right. Field question marks don't count.
That was right.
So Matthew wins the week over Field Yates. I just want that on record here. Yep. We're here in early August.
Let's hear
Matthew
for the
wins
kid.
Week one.
Let's hear it for the kid. And it's a shame that Field, that we had to end trivia after 1 week.
I know. Yeah,
it's
too bad.
It's so upsetting.
All right.
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, and how so much, what, Haley? How many am I?
You have 15 interruptions for Matthew.
15
two
interruptions.
Two trivia wins for you. Two for Kyle. One for me. Nice start to the week. This was a lot of fun the first weekend of the show.
Yeah.
Reminder, people, we're here all football season long. We cannot wait for what is in store. We're going to continue with Double Trouble on Monday. We don't have a lot of news right now to discuss, so a lot of Double Trouble over the next handful of weeks here. Matthew Barrett, TMR, on all forms of social media, except for the
Fantasy Life app, which is free to download. I'm at Matthew Barry there. At Kyle Soppy ESPN on Twitter. At Stefania _ ESPN on Twitter. At Field Yates on Twitter and the Gram. We will see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. And go New Zealand.
That's right. Do the haka.
Peace out.
Give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Mediocre Fantasy Advice.
You're older than people realize.
That never stops.
Loyal 06010 listeners.